Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K04K, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. The net operates on the Minnesota-Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are K04K Chuck, 80MI Pete, K9EQ Chris, Whiskey 4 in the Oscar Delta, Otis, and November 0 Papa X-ray Tango Shane. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavlik Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Remember, there is a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Net control procedures will be that net control will only take check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the list in the order received. Remember, there is that chat window at hamoperator.com. If you can't get in, mention something on there, and I'm sure somebody will email net control. All right. With that, I have one announcement. Hams in the Park is coming up this weekend. Long Lake Regional Park in New Brighton starts at noon, and it's all things ham. Sounds like we're going to have a big turnout for the local one. Hopefully some of the other places around the country will have some, and we can use the 24193 room to coordinate some HF stuff or just play with anyway. Anybody else with an announcement for the net, please check in now. Give me your name, city, and state. All right, hearing nothing there, we'll move to the check-in portion of the net. This is check-in with traffic only, so if you have a comment or a question for the net, check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
K9KWP, Kevin from Palatine, Illinois.
Kilo Oscar 4, India X-ray Oscar, Sean, Louisville, Kentucky.
Kilo Oscar 4, Kilo Delta X-ray, KO4, KDX, Rob in Fisherville, Kentucky, Jefferson County.
Kilo Oscar 4, India Kilo Oscar, Sean, Louisville, Kentucky, and looks like we've got Kilo Oscar 4, Kilo Delta X-ray, Rob. I might have stepped on a little bit, but we'll start with the first one. Kilo 9, Kilo Whiskey Papa. Go ahead.
Good evening. So I actually have a question by starting that I'm hoping somebody may get in single poem, shed some light on, in particular around configuring for both DMR mode and YSF simultaneously. I understand that to get them to work together nicely, you have to set the hang time in the MMDBM host config. But I haven't been able to find much good documentation that explains how best to set them together, like how you might adjust the hang time for each mode.
All right. Well, I think our resident expert there might be Chris. So, K9EQ, I'm going to send it to you. K04K, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm not really an expert on this stuff. My observation has been is that if you want to talk on DMR, the best radio to have is a DMR radio. And if you want to talk on Fusion, the best radio to have is a Fusion radio, and I've set a Pi Star type devices up to do that, and that seemed to work pretty well. There's going to be conflicts, because if you're, you know, what if you're in a DMR mode, but, you know, something that you're connected to on Fusion starts yakking and some things like that. So I really highly recommend the two radio strategy, and DMR radios are, you know, cheaper than dirt, so it's not a big deal. If you're only going to use one radio, I would suggest it be a Fusion radio, because it's kind of a superset. And so what I think you're referring to is the fact that when you use, like, a certain mode, it will stay in that mode until the hang time expires. And that is probably based on operating practices. If you're doing the cross-mode stuff, I'm not really going to be much help to you there. I suspect if you're doing the cross-mode stuff, you just have to select that from the from a local, you know, a browser connected to the Pi Star. It's kind of difficult to figure out what it should be converting to and from. I have not experimented with that. I've done the DMR infusion with a DMR infusion radio, and that worked okay, and I think the default hang time was 20 seconds. Does that help?
Sort of. So my situation is I actually do have a DMR radio, and I have a SF radio. But I have a single hotspot, and I'm debating about whether or not I can effectively get a single hotspot to be able to interchangeably switch between radios. What I have been doing is when I want to use the DMR radio, I set up the hotspot for DMR pure, and then when I want to use YSF, I just reconfigure it to YSF mode and then use it that way. But I had read a number of postings where people set it up appropriately so you could just interchangeably without having to reconfigure. But doing that reliably seems to elude me. So to your point, it might make more sense to just get a second hotspot and have one for each.
Well, you can never have too many hotspots. Well, you can, actually, because their radios are crap and they create mixing products, even when they're not transmitting. So never, okay guys, never put a hotspot on a big antenna. It's really a bad idea. That situation works okay. The problem is that you have to pick the same frequency for both the DMR and the YSF, or the Fusion. And a lot of the DMR code plugs, the way DMR works is, the Fusion, the nice thing about Fusion is it decouples the frequency and what you're connected to. So you pick your channel, then you decide what you want to connect to. DMR combines those two together, so if you have a frequency and you want to connect to five different things, you need five different channels. And the hams that are not familiar with DMR scratching their head going, that doesn't sound like a good idea. Well, it's not. So anyway, you're probably going to want to use whatever code plug you have, whatever frequency it specifies for the hotspot. And what I should point out for everybody here is that a lot of the code plugs that are published for DMR they're kind of difficult to set up, but a lot of them are pre-configured with a special configuration for hotspots. So anyway, I found that works fine. It seems to do a good job of detecting whether it's a DMR signal or a Fusion signal, and then it switches to the appropriate mode. You know, when you're in DMR, you can use your DMR channels to go to different places, and when you're in Fusion, you can use your Fusion stuff to go to different FCS and YSF reflectors and stuff like that. And I haven't had a problem with that. Depending upon your comfort level, you know, how much you like Linux and how much you like rolling the dice, you can build a hotspot really inexpensively. You can get the modem board, the thing that does the RF and whatnot, for $20 to $25. They're even on Amazon. You grab a Raspberry Pi from somewhere, plug the two together, and then all you need is to download the software into the SD card and set it up, and you're good to go. You've got another hotspot. So, you know, it's entirely possible to build a hotspot for $60 or $70, which is why I say you can, you know, I find these people selling hotspots for $300 to $400. Shoot, you can buy a nice radio for that. There you go. Let's see, just one more question. What kind of Fusion radio do you have?
I have the FT3DR, and then for DMR, I use an Anytone D878. A little thing that I figured out to get around that code plug frequency coupling is you import all of the talk groups on DMR that you want into as private contacts or public contacts, but don't add channels. And then just set up a channel for ad hoc, and then you can hit a list button on the radio and just scroll through a list of all of the digital contacts. Pick the talk group you want and key up and off you go. So I only code into the code plug maybe two or three regular ones that I use for talk groups. The rest are all just digital contacts that I can pick from a list. And then I just refresh the list every once in a while from the network.
Okay. That, I think, is dependent on the radio you have. Chuck is just enjoying his Chuck doesn't have a hotspot. Anyways, we probably talked enough about hotspots. What was I going to mention? Oh, the reason I asked you what radio you have. So the FT3, without a lot of work, can also connect to Wires X. Now, the hotspots cannot connect to Wires X. So if you're going to connect to, and I think you're doing that now, to MinWiz here, you're doing it through a YSF reflector that's in New York, and then bridging occurs in Dayton, Minnesota. And that's how that works. That's how you can use a hotspot to talk to a Wires X room. And, of course, you know, nothing's as good as, like, being on the network you want to be on. You can download Wires X software from the ASU website, and with a cable, plug your HT into the computer. And you can use it in two ways, but probably the way you'd want to use it in, it would just act as a direct connection. It wouldn't be using RF at all. So, you know, I mean, there is a convenience to the hotspots and everything, but if you're find yourself with a board and want something to do, you can, your radio is capable of, it's one of the radios that's capable of doing that, directly connecting to Wires X. Anyway, okay, Chuck doesn't want his eyes burned out, I think. We'll have to turn it back to Chuck and find out what that's all about. Oh, hotspots, yeah. Over to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right, Chris and Kevin. Yeah, we had a little back channel chat going here, and they were saying that I don't need a hotspot because I have a repeater in my backyard. They're correct. At 5,000 feet from my house, a little bit less than a mile, there is a very good repeater. So that's what I use. But I was just saying I did a happy dance, but I wasn't going to send pictures since I didn't want to burn anybody's eyeballs out. Okay, that answered all of Chris's questions. Kevin, thank you for a great question on PiStar. Hopefully you get it running, and, well, we're going to move on to Kilo 04 India X-Ray Oscar, Sean, Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead.
Roger, Kilo Oscar 4 India X-Ray Oscar. Good evening, everybody on the net. Not too much going on my way. I don't have any questions for you, but I will say I did recently get a hotspot going back to the previous conversation there, had another ham build it for me. It cost right about $100 for him to build it for me. And I don't know too much about him. He's my guru on the matter, but unfortunately he is out of town this week on vacation, so he's not on the net tonight. He'd be a good one to talk to about this because he has been working on linking C4FM with DMR. He got a reflector set up and has got it linked to a DMR room with the same, actually got lucky and got the same number room as reflector number, so that was cool. And he's been using DMR, and another guy in our group has been using DMR, and I'm on Yaesu. And I know for the first day when he had it set up, he had it running wide open, as the previous guy was talking about, and it worked pretty well for him, but he ended up running into issues when I or another guy that keyed up with Yaesu came on there. His hotspot would flip over to Yaesu system and stop working in the DMR, and we would lose connection between each other. But so he ended up going in and doing the same as the last guy, shutting everything else down except for the DMR on his hotspot, and that seemed to resolve the problem. But like I said, I'm pretty new to it. I've only had the hotspot for less than a week, so you guys are kind of talking over my head. I'm just here listening and trying to learn a little bit of it. So I appreciate the good conversation. With that, I'll send it back to you, Net Control.
All right, Sean, thank you for the check-in. We'll move on to Kilo 04, Kilo Delta X-ray, Rob, Fisherville, Kentucky.
Well, good evening, Chuck, and everyone on the net. This is Rob, KO4, KDX, out in Fisherville. And while we're talking about hotspots, actually one of the gentlemen, probably Sean, was speaking about has suggested the OpenSpot 3 for myself. And so I guess my question is, in comparison from like an OpenSpot 3 to, you know, one of these other type of hotspots, is there any advantages of, you know, one versus the other? And I'm really just the OpenSpot 3 compared to any other hotspot. And then to that, is there any issues with ease of use? So is one easier to use than the other? So I guess I got two questions there. Which one would anyone refer out there? And between a hotspot and an OpenSpot 3, which one would be easier to use? Back to you, Net Control.
All right, we'll send it to our hotspot guy, Chris, K90Q, back to you.
Yeah, they send it to me because I run the YSF reflector. And I'm just trying something new here. I'm using a Raspberry Pi for my desktop. And everything seems to be working okay, surprisingly. The new Raspberry Pi 4 is just absolutely amazing what it can do for not a lot of money. Even running a hard drive on it. And that was real easy to do. But I digress. I guess it depends on, it's a value judgment which only you can make as to the OpenSpot versus, you know, like a PiStar solution. And there's like a zillion PiStar solutions. A ZoomSpot is PiStar, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, what's the name of that company? Bridgecom. They take a PiStar system and mark it up to $400 and whatever. It depends upon how fearful you are of computers and how much money you have. So to me, the OpenSpot is insanely expensive. I would much rather spend my money on a new radio than buy a hotspot. Because, quite frankly, there's not much in a hotspot. What's nice is if you just want to plug it in and just have the same kind of work. The one technical advantage it has is it has a built-in vocoder. This is their big selling feature. So if you want to convert to or from D-Star, it does a better job of doing that. If you don't care about D-Star, the vocoder doesn't do anything for you. Downside of the OpenSpot is I find the menu structure really bizarre and confusing, but you get used to it. And it doesn't have things like an Ethernet port on it, and I prefer to run wired connections versus wireless, because as ham radio operators, we all know how flaky radio is. And so you don't get an Ethernet connection either. It's got a battery built in. I would say it's really designed for people that want to use a hotspot in a car and, you know, connect to their cellular and talk to a radio, that type of thing. So, like I mentioned, the Pi Star flavors, I mean, you can build one yourself for Raspberry Pis, $35, RF boards, $25, and you probably have an SD card lying around, so that's what it's going to cost you, unless you have a Raspberry Pi lying around. You know, you can get, like, the Zoom Spot from HRO, which is going to be more expensive, but it's more or less packaged. I had a friend of mine that just got one with the larger display on it, and I got that's about $150, and I got to admit that that's pretty nice. Otis is pointing out there's a battery on the OpenSpot 3. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but it's got a battery on it, so it's really meant for the portable operation. So those are the differences between them. I think both of them will work. Certainly if you're wanting to learn Linux or you're not afraid of the Linux command line, although not an expert at it, you'll probably do fine with the Pi Star solution. So does that help?
Yes, sir. Excellent response. I appreciate the wealth of information that you just gave me, and once again, I appreciate it, and you answered both my questions in the entirety, so I appreciate it again. This is KO4KDX, back to you, NetControl.
Okay, sounds like it came back to NetControl, so I will make the call here to see if anybody else has questions or comments. All Things Fusion Radio. Give us your name, city, and state. Comments or questions only. Go ahead.
KE0IJJ. Rick, I have a comment.
KE0YJJ. Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota. Go ahead.
Evening, Chuck. I've been listening for a long time to you guys' net. I learned a while back to just not say anything and just listen. I get a lot out of it. My comment is confusion. I'm confused. I thought that the policy of MinWiz was to not discuss hotspots, and yet the majority of this net has been talking about hotspots. So, have you changed your... My comment and question is, have you changed your policy? KE0YJJ, back to Chuck.
Tough question. Primary policy is saying all things fusion, specifically Yaesu radios and Yaesu fusion linking and whatnot. However, there are so many people doing the hotspots and stuff
that sometimes we get off on a tangent when they're trying to link to YSF network, which we are. And Chris, while not Chris is our subject matter expert. So giving him, you know, these questions helps everybody. My personal opinion is I'd like to guide us away from it. But when the questions are asked, I don't feel that they shouldn't be answered. So, Rick, I can't do any more than that other than saying what I say when I qualified it, saying Yaesu radios. I don't want to get up on a soapbox and say it's only Yaesu radios that we're interested in. Most of us are hams. We like to play with all the different pieces and parts. So it's interesting to see what's happening and where it's going. The hard part is, when you get off on some of these tangents, it only interests a very few people. And that's why we were trying to limit it per, you know, Yaesu Fusion radios. Time for me to get off my soapbox. Back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Chuck. That was excellent, and if that is in fact the policy, I think you guys are doing well at maintaining that policy. But helping out every now and again is just outstanding, and I was really happy to hear that. An off-the-wall question is, I didn't quite get the... I saw an advertisement or on the web for a new Fusion radio something they're coming out with. It might not be Fusion, but it's from Yaesu. Do you know anything about this new thing?
Me personally, haven't seen a thing. Anybody else out there seen any new information from Yaesu on a new radio or a new Fusion radio? Let's see. Well, if you do, come on back. Let us know.
WV7OUT in Yuma with a comment.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Oscar Union Tango, Tom out of Yuma, Arizona. This a comment on the Yaesu radio, or is this another one?
Well, I could have sworn that I saw an announcement a few days ago of an HRI 300. And then it dawned on me, oh, maybe that was an April Fool's joke that somebody posted. But I think it was on a Yaesu email thing somewhere, and I was just curious, and that was the same thing I was wondering. I posted it on the Fusion Reflector, and somebody said, oh, you dreamed it. So that was kind of the same question I had. Go ahead.
All right. Well, maybe that answers our question on April Fool's jokes. So... yes, somebody just chimed in. Yes, it was last Thursday, and it was an April Fool's joke. So, that's what we know about the new Yaesu radio. Sorry, guys. Nothing new coming out. I'm going to send it over to Otis here. He's got a comment from the chat, and why don't you go ahead, Otis, let us know what you got.
All right, Chuck. Well, I'll try to actually put Rick's question out there. He's got a question for the net. He's saying that the local club there in Sarasota, Florida, I would presume, has a monthly net. They have a Fusion repeater, and he's curious if it's possible to simulcast the net on a local RV frequency and on a room established on our repeater. So I don't know what he's asking other than the simulcast, and I know what that means. And he just says many of them are gone in Florida for the summer and would like to participate in a local net. Any possibilities? So, that's a perplexing question. If I know anyone that can probably answer that as far as simulcast, it's probably K9EQ, Chuck. W4IOD, back to the neck control.
All right, Otis. Well, let's send it over to Chris and see if he's got any ideas for them. K9EQ, go ahead and take it.
Yes, sir. You can, Randy, you can certainly do that. To give you specific advice, we probably require specifics as to what assets you have and available to you. If you go over to hamoperator.com, and let me just take an aside here that there's stuff on hamoperator.com about hotspots and using hotspots and stuff like that, so you can poke around over there. There is information on something I did a while ago, which was like the out-of-the-box repeater. And what that was, it was connecting an analog and a digital repeater together without having any fancy stuff. And just stuff you buy out of the box. The secret to it was, rather than having some sketchy firmware or controller connected to the DR1 or DR2 repeater, which always seemed to be more trouble than it was worth, it didn't connect anything to the repeater. It took advantage of the firmware and a Yaesu radio to make everything work. So if you had a spare Fusion radio, you could connect the analog and the digital repeaters together, and it worked solidly at that. Because when I moved here to California, that was disassembled and it's not on the air anymore. In fact, we really got fancy with voice announcements and some other things, but that's not what you're asking about. So yes, doing the simulcast is certainly possible. Depending upon how you want to do it, in the analog domain, if you're looking at like doing some analog networking, All-Star is an extremely good way to go. And you can look that up, All-Star. I should put something on Ham Operator about that. And essentially what you would do is you'd take a computer or a Raspberry Pi, wire it up to your Fusion radio, and load the All-Star software on it, and then anybody with an All-Star node could go and listen to it. You can do things, and we did this on MinWiz, and we may end up doing this again. There's a service called Broadcastify, and for the longest time, we were taking the audio from MinWiz, and we were putting it out over Broadcastify so people could listen to it from their web browser or their smartphone or something like that. And it was kind of nice, you know, you could hear yourself after a certain delay and things like that. So if people just want to listen, something like Broadcastify is pretty easy to do. You just take a radio that can receive the repeater and jack the audio into your computer or Raspberry Pi, whatever you have, and get your Broadcastify account and just let the thing cook. You know, just let the thing run. So that's another way of doing it. You can also, you know, like we were talking about hotspots earlier, and in fact, that's the reason we originally got into hotspots, was the idea was that if people flew out of town for a holiday, they could take a hotspot along with them, and that was a pretty easy way to stay in touch with the folks back home. So, you know, that could do it also. But that is, of course, digital. So your mention of RV, I'm assuming you want it to be on FM. So those are some kind of your options, but you know, it really depends upon what you have available to you. The bottom line of getting Fusion to analog, if you want to do that, however you do that with an FM radio or All-Star, is you need a Fusion radio to do that conversion for you. Randy, if you're there, I don't know if you can transmit, does that take care of your question?
Yes, it does, Chris, at least in part. First of all, I really appreciate your, not only MinWiz to help me as a new user get familiar with Fusion, but in our local community, we have a new Fusion repeater, and I know there are a number of our users who are out of town, so if I can connect with you offline and see what options are available, not just for me, but for all those that are Florida residents during the season, but want to participate and understand what's going on locally on the monthly nets, I would greatly appreciate it. One more thing, Chris. I did look at the WiresX Bible, and I have some edits I'm going to send to you. I apologize. It's not nearly as complete as I had hoped. As I'm a relatively new user, there's still a lot that I'm filling in on my FT3D and FTM300, but I appreciate what you guys are doing. Back to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's a work in progress, and I took a consulting job here, which has made it harder to get to. I should also mention one thing we are doing. People might be interested in this. We are recording the nets and putting that over on the hamoperator.com website. So if you get you over to the MinWiz tab and you go down to MinWiz Net, what you will see, and I've done everything correctly, is you'll see basically the date of the net, sort of a brief description of what the net was about, and if you like left-click on the date, you can download the MP3 file, or you can just click the little player button, and it'll start playing right away. You know, you don't have to wait for the download. I think that's how that works. Anyway, so that's over on hamoperator.com. You go over to MinWiz, and you go down to MinWiz Net, and there are the net logs when I remember to turn the recording on. And we're going to try to make that more automatic. So that's another way. Of course, you know, it's too late to provide any feedback, but you know, maybe like a podcast of a net. I don't know. I have no idea. Talking too much. Anyway, there you go. Thanks for the comments, and back over to you, Chuck K9EQ.
Hey, Chris, thank you for taking that one. And I received an email that I'm going to read the last paragraph from. This is from John Crook, posted on April 1st as a April Fool's joke. He's talking about the different things that this radio would do. All vans, all modes, all power, full legal limit on every band. And last paragraph is, reservations will be open soon, and if those names are too long to remember, please refer to them by these model numbers, HAHA and JOKE. Haha, it's a joke. April Fools, everyone, 2021. So that's what the new Yaesu models were, and we'll move on from there. Looking for anybody with questions or comments for the Pocket Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. We talk about all things Yaesu Fusion. If you've got a comment or a question, give us your name, city, and state.
In 0ANE, Mike, St. Peter, Minnesota, with an FTM-100 issue.
All right, November 0, Alpha November Echo. Mike, St. Peter, Minnesota, go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Chuck. Good evening, everyone. I don't really expect an answer on this, but maybe just make others aware of this experience we're having, as it may become more than just us. Over the last year or so, we've had three FTM-100s different owners, different radios, different applications, where in the C4FM mode, when pushing the push-its-talk, going to transmit, it makes a little bit of a white noise burst, almost like a slight squelch burst. And once it does that, it has no transmit audio on C4FM. You have to be sure that when you key the push-to-talk, you hear none of that noise as it goes in transmit. I made a guess that maybe it was the AMS circuit, and that maybe it was in kind of a partial transition to FM. When you go to hard digital narrow, I thought that might fix it. It does not. It still comes back. And it got to the point where I just finally got, thankfully, got one of the few remaining FTM 7250s and put that in my vehicle, and now I don't think about it. I use them as WiresX nodes, and they're fine. But it's just this peculiar thing, different users, different radios, swapped one of them out, still did the same thing. And a little aggravating, but I find it odd that I haven't heard it brought up. I just thought I'd throw it out there for discussion, for interest. And, well, it's just a radio that's still very popular, so I thought I should mention it. Thank you, Chuck, and Zero A-N-E.
Well, it's the first time I've heard of that, and sounds like from Otis, it's the first time he's heard of that. Mike, thanks for bringing it to our attention. And I'm going to just throw out a call now and see if anybody else has had an FTM-100 with a similar or the same kind of problem. If it did, come on back, give us your name, city, and state, and we'll get you on the list in the order we hear you.
Zero HMD, Otana, FT-100, first time heard that, 2 years.
Or send in a radio to see if they can diagnose it.
Okay, Chuck, a little doubling there. I think you might turn it back to me. I realize I need to call Yaesu Tech Support and maybe send it on its way, but the thing I fear, as with so many things, is that they won't be able to reproduce it. So my tendency is to put it into service as a node, let it run, move on to other radios, but you know what? If nobody else is talking about it, I'm glad, because that's meaning that they're still performing up to everybody's expectations. Thank you, Chuck. N0 A&E.
All right, thank you, Mike. And I realize we doubled with November 0 Hotel Mike Delta, Ken out of Owatonna. So, Ken, why don't you go ahead with your question or comment now?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm running an FT-100 here, too, and I wasn't aware of that, so keep an eye open for that, too. Hopefully,
that
won't have that same problem.
All right. Well, glad you're not having that issue, Ken. Appreciate the check-in from Owatonna. On that, looking for more questions or comments for the net. Name, city, state. Go ahead, Bill. All right. Hearing no further questions, I'm going to bring it to a close. Remember, this net meets here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time, and we cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0 4K, and everyone have a great week.